Our scripture for today is from the fourth chapter of Ephesians and the third chapter of Titus. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Paul's admonition to the Ephesians, and then he wrote to Titus. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Now, it very well may be that religious people, and I say religious people because I would include many others besides Christians, and with you understanding what I'm saying there, I would say that I believe really religious people place a different value on what I'm now going to say. I'm going to give you a quotation. And I'm going to quote that famous author, Dr. Ichabod Mortimer, and the initials there would be I.M. His last name is Anonymous. Dr. I.M. Anonymous. Dr. Anonymous has pointed out, brilliance of mind and a capacity for deep thinking have rendered great service to humanity. But by themselves, they are powerless to dry a tear or mend a broken heart. On the other hand, the ministry of kindness is a ministry that may be achieved by all people, rich and poor, learned and illiterate. So the truth of the matter is, the great worldly value is indeed on the superiority of what he called the great service of brilliance of mind and a capacity for deep thinking. But we who are really religious people, and I'll put Christians at the top of that class, we place a far greater value on the ministry or the service of kindness. Indeed, it is, again, as Anonymous has aptly said, a ministry that may be achieved by all people, rich and poor, learned and illiterate, and all those in between. You see, kindness made its most noticeable impact on human life by the coming of Christ. And then it quickly developed as a practice in the lives of his early followers. I remember that the idea of kindness was one of the first concepts that was taught to me in my early church life. Do you remember this? In our primary Sunday school class, little 3 and 4 and 5 year olds were taught to say, "Be ye kind, one to another." Do you remember that? At that age, I had no idea what the word "ye" meant, but I understood the "be kind" part. And unfortunately now, though, as centuries have passed and Christian groups and we Baptists are right in there, Christian groups have spent a lot of time and emotion on deciding the particulars of what this group believes about the mode of baptism or what the other group believes. Or who should be a deacon? Or how should you serve or take communion? Or any of the other many dogmas that tend to separate us into denominations and faiths. And one of the greatest losses of the larger church, the identification that we we lump together and call church with a capital C, is that too many Christians have devoted more time in creating and preserving a dogma that defines being a Presbyterian or a Catholic or a Baptist or a Mennonite, more time on stuff like that than in practicing that part of the fruit of the Spirit that Paul gave such specific recognition to as kindness. Kindness is of God. Kindness may be easily related to those traits of God that we identify as mercy and grace. God has mercy on us. And as He does, He is showing us true kindness. He shows grace to us, which is showing us kindness. As a matter of fact, in all aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, and so forth, including kindness, we see the character of God, do we not? So kindness is that part of the fruit placed in us by the Holy Spirit for ye to do to one another. And I would add, as God does His kindness to us. But kindness didn't just begin when Paul wrote to the Galatian church, identifying it as a part or as evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. Kindness has been a behavior God has wanted in His people from the origin of humanity. So then, to give the wider perspective on the concept of kindness, let us this morning trace the evidence of God's kindness as He responded to people throughout the biblical record and relate it to what the Christian life is to be. And as we discover through the biblical record, the kindness of God in action, responding in kindness to frail humanity by drawing people to Himself in a sacrificial love, we understand the challenge to us for our own sensitive and responsive living as a trait of kindness within us. With appreciation for the Beatitudes of Christ, the blessed are you when, blessed are we when we get a firm hold on some of the depth of the Apostle Paul's understanding of what God desires in us. Paul wrote to the Roman church, "Let love be sincere. Hate that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly responsive one to another with brotherly love." Responsive, sensitive living for the Christian is practicing what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount when He was describing the good gifts His Heavenly Father gives to all who ask of Him. He said, respond to others. Be sensitive to others by doing this. In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. In other words, He told His followers to act toward others in the same spirit that God has acted toward all of us. Now, I said I would trace this, starting with the beginnings of the record, the Old Testament. So here is some of the record of the kindness of God and the lessons of God's kindness there in the Old Testament. God's kindness has an effect on our relationships with each other and with ours with God. So in relationship, in fellowship with each other, you know, any act that you do in kindness requires both you and another. You and another person, you and God. Kindness requires that. Very early in Abraham's dealings with others, he became known for his kindness in relationship, as with the covenant he made with Abimelech in Genesis 21. It says, God is with you in all that you do. Now, therefore, swear to me by God that you will not deal falsely with me, with my offspring, or with my posterity, but that according to the kindness that I have done to you, you will do to me. And this was more than with Abraham and with his descendants. There was a lot more in the way of kindness. But I move on to the royal kingdom of Israel and of David. 1 Samuel 20, verse 14 tells us that Jonathan said to David, "Show me unfailing kindness, like the Lord's kindness, as long as I live, so that I may not be killed." And when King Saul died and David became king, David said to the men of Jabesh Gilead, who had buried Saul, he said, "The Lord bless you for showing this kindness to Saul, your master, by burying him. May the Lord now show you kindness and faithfulness, like I too will show you as the same favor." In a recent Wednesday night study of the book, almost said Wednesday night supper, didn't I? You know where my mind is. In a recent Wednesday night study of the book of Ruth, y'all remember that, don't you? In Ruth 1:8, we read that Naomi said to both of her daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me." In the Old Testament, not only in relationship with each other, but also in fellowship with God, we find kindness. When Joseph had been falsely imprisoned by the lies of Potiphar's wife, Genesis 39 tells us of God's continuing kindness to his servant Joseph, a kindness that had blessed Joseph with success ever since he had been sold into slavery by his brothers. And Genesis 39, 21 says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer." Then Isaiah the prophet spoke of Israel's future fortunes with the Lord. He said, "For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee." And the prophet Joel's instructions to Israel was to prevent a national destruction. He said, "And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness." Next, the Old Testament teaches that God's kindness is to be seen all around us. For instance, in the material world, the earthly world that's out there. From the Psalms, Psalm 85, 11 and verses 11 and 12. "Truth shall spring out of the earth. The Lord shall give," and that's "will give out of his loving kindness, that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase." And in God's hand, in the victories of his people, we see kindness with the words gracious and compassion and mercy. Listen for those keywords, signifying the sensitivity of kindness. This is again from the Psalm, Psalm 145. "They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy." Thus, for his everlasting kindness, our God is deserving of our thanks. The redeemed of the Lord should say so. Psalm 107 says, "For he is good, for his mercy, his kindness, endureth forever." And when Jeremiah was in prison, the Lord spoke to him of the restoration of Israel following the exile. And Jeremiah's instruction to the people for their response was, "Give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting." And of course, there are many more references to kindness in the Old Testament. The kindness of God, the kindness on the part of God's people to each other. But let's move on to the New Testament. Because we are to seek in our lives Christ-likeness, and because it is the Holy Spirit who gives us the fruit of the Spirit that includes the character of kindness. I want to focus on the source, the kindness of God in the New Testament. God's kindness is directed toward all, toward everyone, from Jesus. In some of the first of his great teachings, Jesus said, "Love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because," and this is the why, the example we're given as to why we are to love and to be good, and even to our enemies, even to lend to them, "because he," God, "is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." Luke 6, 35 and 36. And mercy is, of course, expressed in kindness. And following Jesus, there are the teachings of God's servant Paul. This to the Ephesian church: "God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming again he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his," in God's, "kindness to us in Christ Jesus." And it's directed toward all because it is offered for man's salvation. Paul made this ever so plain to the Romans. "Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, of his forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" And he said the same thing, worded just a little differently, as he wrote to Titus, and this is part of our scripture text for today. "When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy." His mercy being that which he had just spoken of, kindness and love. Again, as with the Old Testament, there is much, much more in the biblical words of the New Testament to the church concerning the kindness of God and our mirroring this in our own lives, more than we can get into a brief message of today. Notice I said brief. Do I hear an amen? Amen. And so we move on to the kindness of God in our Christian experience. Kindness is, and has been the emphasis of this whole series of messages, a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Or in other words, one essential part of several traits of mature Christian living. Peter points out in his second epistle that by means of precious promises, we may participate in the divine nature. Giving attention to the growth of all aspects of our faith, he directs that we add to faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And Paul held kindness among the things that commends the traits of ministers of God. This was for himself and all other servants of God. And brothers and sisters, here at Bosquedale, we recognize all Christians as servants of God, or as the top of your bulletin says, ministers, all the members. He lists the traits as purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love. And kindness is a part of a pattern for growth. That pattern includes prayer. In prayer, we are to give attention to others as Jesus taught, and forgive us our sins as we forgive out of our kindness those who sin against us. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also, out of his kindness, forgive you. That's sensitive mercy. That's kindness. And we are to grow in the faith by changing our response to becoming sensitive and positive to people. Paul teaches that we are not to grieve the Spirit of God, who in Ephesians he defines this way: do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Rather, we are to change our response, our sensitivity, by getting rid of, and this is part of our text for today, get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Those terrible responses to people are replaced by, then, verse 32, replaced by kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiveness. And in Paul's exhortation on love in 1 Corinthians 13, as the height of Christian graces, he writes, love suffers long and is kind. And I believe kindness will always be in our Christian experience as we follow the path of love. And in Matthew chapter 11, we find a series, and just a fascinating series of illustrative descriptions of the Lord Jesus Christ's activities. In that one chapter, we see Jesus commanding the 12, preaching in the cities, encountering John the Baptist's disciples, evaluating John the Baptist's ministry, denouncing the present generation, his present generation, chastising the cities, praying to the Father, and inviting all who labor and are heavy laden to come to him. In that invitation, we catch a condensed version of the secret of sensitive, that is for Christian, responsive and kind, a sensitive living. Jesus is saying, put on my yoke and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. A couple of commentaries that I read on that passage pointed out that for Jesus to tell us that his yoke is easy to bear and the burden he gives us is light tells us of the loving kindness of our Savior. As we grow to become Christ-like through his loving kindness, we too bear the fruit of his Spirit, which is kindness, both within and coming out of our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is, among other good and blessed things, the fruit of the Spirit is kindness.